Welcome to Spirits on Spirits, a podcast where we mix ghost stories with a little liquid courage. I'm Aiden.
And I'm Nate.
And together we'll dive into the eerie, the unexplained, and the downright terrifying, all while enjoying a drink or two. Each episode we'll explore haunted places, ghostly encounters, and paranormal mysteries, pairing them with the perfect cocktail to keep our nerves steady. So grab a glass, turn down the lights, and join us as we sip, shiver, and swap some spine-chilling stories. Because here at Spirits on Spirits, the only thing stronger than the ghosts are our drinks.
What up, baddies? Welcome to another episode of Spirits on Spirits. I'm your host, Nate, and this is my co-host,
Aiden.
Yeah, well, I was waiting for you to say it, man. We're so excited to be back with another episode. Even though spooky season is over, October is over, October in Salem is over, spooky season on Spirits on Spirits is never over. We are continuing. We got more stories. We are locked and loaded, ready to go. Spooky season never dies on the pod, Aiden. How we feeling?
Feeling great.
Nice.
We're out of October in Salem, which means, guess what? We don't have a bajillion people.
No, I know.
Right outside my door.
So. It is. That part is nice. The crowd element of it is. And it has nothing to do, like, no malice or, like, we're not mad at the people that come. Like, we want people to come and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
you just can't. You just accept the fact that you, like, can't go to restaurants.
Yes.
Or, like, go to your normal shops.
No.
Or drive.
Yes.
Anywhere. At all.
For, like, yeah, absolutely. So, the fact that that is, that time of the year has passed, it's nice. So, yeah.
Mixed bag, you know. Yeah. I mean, spooky season's fun, but also comes with its flaws.
I know. The tough part now is we're just staring down the barrel of a dark, cold winter. Like,
I know.
Spooky season, like, October in Salem's nice because it's like, oh, like, there's something going on. Like, you never feel like, you know, just like, oh, it's cold and dark now. And now it's like, oh, no, it's just cold and dark.
I went out yesterday at, like, 5 o'clock to take my dog out, and I was like, did the sun explode? What happened?
Yeah, it's gone. Yeah. It's gone. We'll see it in March. And you're like, ugh, that sounds awful. So, but hey, you know where there's a lot of sun? Where we're going today. Aiden, do you want to tell the people where we're going today?
We're heading back down to Florida.
Oh, yeah?
Going to Key West.
Nice. Key freaking West, dude.
Freaking sick.
Key freaking West. Dude, Key West is on my short list of places that I've never been that I really, really want to go.
Yeah, it looks really nice.
It looks so nice. And, like, that's just, like, that is, I feel like I would fit in Key West very well.
The board shorts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know.
Golf polo.
Yeah. I feel like Key West would definitely be my vibes. Yeah,
man. Yeah, you fit the vibe.
I do love me a good pair of flip-flops. Aiden is not wrong about that.
You hate your toes to be
constricted. This is true. I didn't know my feet and footwear would be. We should have, like, a bingo card for the podcast of just, like, like, have, like, ChatGPT or some shit, like, shoot out, just, like, come up with the most random things. And if they get hit, then, like, it's a shot. We should have, like, a fire barrel or fireball, like, cauldron. And if anything gets brought up off the bingo card, it's a fireball shot or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Or we, I was going to say, but we could rig it. But you could add another nip of fireball every episode that you don't get bingo.
That would be crazy.
But then we'd be able to just say,
yeah,
oh, we're going to do all the things right now.
The fun thing, hear me out, you could have a bingo card and I could have a bingo card.
Secret.
And you don't know what's on. So, like, I have a bingo card for things you would say, and I don't know what's on it and stuff like, or, no, I would know what's on yours. You wouldn't know what was on yours. I don't know. Whatever. This idea is very raw. But Key West. You've never been?
I've never been.
Me either. My girlfriend has, and she was there for work, actually, for like 3 weeks, and said it was pretty cool.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Well, she was stationed down there. Yeah. So, but yeah.
God, oh, yeah. What a tough life.
Yeah. but yeah, no, I definitely, it seems friggin' awesome. I would love, like, just, I don't know, like, you get a little Hawaiian shirt on.
I think you're made for Florida.
I am made for Florida.
Golfing.
Yep.
Be with a bunch of old people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Live in an HOA.
Be warm. Like,
go to strip malls for everything.
On the ocean. Like, yeah. I literally, like, my, like, comfort song that just plays in my head is, like, Bahama, hey there, pretty mama, Key Largo. Like, I don't even know how it goes. I just, do you know what song I'm talking about?
Yeah, the Beach Boys.
Yeah, the Beach Boys. That's, like, literally, like.
Kokomo.
Yeah. Just playing in my head all the time.
Great song.
Yeah. Very excited. Very excited. So.
It's like that, Have you seen How I Met Your Mother?
Yes.
It's like them looking at each other from across the bar.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, I do remember that. Yeah. I do remember that. Oh, man. That's awesome. So, all right, well, I mean, people probably want us to shut the fuck up and get to the ghosts, so let's oblige.
First, we got to get to the other spirits.
Yeah, we got to get to the other spirits. We totally went, like, oh my gosh, I just almost...
What is happening?
I just almost choked and
died. Did you just have a stroke?
Yeah, a little bit. Just a little bit of a stroke.
Just a little stroke.
Little bit of stroke. yeah, we got the other part of spirits. We haven't hit on that.
So, I'm going a little bit like loose on the correlation between the location and the drink, but I'm doing Dark and Stormy. It said that it's good luck to drink in Dark and Stormy down in Florida because, like, you keep the storms in the drink and out of the weather.
Well, that's smart.
Yeah. So, we're going Dark and Stormy.
I just classic drink. Sorry. Well, and, like, especially Key West, like, that's a place that's very stormy or can be very stormy and stuff like that. So, nice.
Well.
Cool.
Let's cheerio.
Cheers. That was a good cheers.
Very full.
Yeah.
I was worried about it spilling.
What were the, like, other drinks associated with Key West? Was there not any?
No, I mean, it was mostly, like, tropical drinks and stuff like that.
Got you.
Which makes sense.
I'm surprised. So, my story, there's a person associated with it that's a known drinker. I'm surprised Jimmy Buffett didn't have a drink. That's, okay, talk about my association with Key West. I'm a big parrot head. I mean, actually, not really, but like, I love me some Jimmy Buff.
You should go to Margaritaville.
I would love to go to Margaritaville.
We went to Margaritaville.
Nice. My fiance and I. Where was yours?
Down Hollywood, Florida.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like right outside of Miami.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Gotcha.
I think just south of it or something.
Gotcha. And it was fun.
Yeah, sounds
did fun. You feel like you were Jimmy Buffett?
No.
No.
But it was great. We had many, many pina coladas.
There you go.
Sat by the pool all day, every day.
It was
great.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
No complaints.
I'm surprised he didn't have like a drink, like the Jimmy Buffett drink or something like that.
I'm sure he does.
But hey, Dark and Stormy.
Dark and Stormy.
Keep the storms in the glass.
Keeping the storms there in the glass.
All right, well. Story time.
It was just stormy time.
Ooh.
Now it's story time.
There you go. Boom. That's why they pay him the big bucks, folks.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. Getting 50% of the proceeds.
Oh, that was a good one.
All right. So, we are going to a little saloon.
Ooh.
It's called Captain Tony's Saloon.
Captain... K-Tones.
Yep. So, the building of four Captain Tony's looks pretty ordinary at first glance. It's got peeling paint, wood shutters. It's, like, pretty much what you think of as, like...
A dive bar.
Yeah, a little, like, beach...
Yeah.
Beach town.
Beach town dive bar.
Dive saloon bar, whatever. It's got a fish hanging in the doorway with its mouth open that, it catches tossed, like people will toss coins in the mouth.
Nice.
But you step inside and you feel a little heaviness in the air right away. The mingling of laughter and then something a little bit older, a little bit quieter, if you will. The walls seem to have a little bit of a breath.
They can talk. If these walls can talk. If these walls can talk. If these walls can talk.
Dude, we're definitely going to get copyrighted for that one. That was a great Kendrick.
I actually would be pretty naughty. So, first reaction if we ever get copyrighted would be...
Proud.
Pure joy. Pure joy for about...
You thought we were good enough 30, to get copyrighted?
30 seconds. And then after that, oh fuck.
Yeah, that's not good.
This is not good. This hobby has now turned into
a liability.
Financial, like, sinkhole of money.
Debt.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Every creak of the floorboard sounds just a little too alive.
Ooh, interesting.
This isn't just any bar. This place has stood since the 1850s.
Ooh, this place has seen some shit.
And it's been almost everything that a building can be.
Whoa.
It's been an ice house. A telegraph station.
What is an ice house?
Like, it keeps ice.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That was a place?
Yeah. Everything was a place back then.
But, how did...
Well, you can't, like, back in the 1850s and shit, you can't, like, they didn't have, like, ordinary freezers.
So how did they get ice, like, how'd you get ice to Florida in the 1800s?
No idea. And even when you got it there, how do you keep it frozen?
How do you keep it frozen?
Yeah.
Right? That's crazy. I just imagine, like, just a line of people walking with ice trays, just, like, fucking, like, carrying them. And they're starting to melt and stuff like that. And they're like, oh shit. Fuck, yeah.
Gotta get home.
Yo, man.
It was that's a cigar crazy. Factory.
Whoa.
It was a brothel. Awesome. It was a speakeasy.
This place sounds awesome.
It was a morgue.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
So that might be where our ghosts are coming from.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is that I read that it was also, it was a morgue and an ice house at the same time.
You know what?
Keeping things cold.
Well, I was going to say that would make sense.
Yeah. I wouldn't want my ice to be
more
around bodies.
Yeah, no. More guys.
I guess beggars can't be choosers, yeah. Right? And if you believe the stories of whispered over decades of drinks and ghost stores, it's also one of the most haunted spots in all of Key West.
Whoa.
So, before the laughter and the music, before the names painted on the bar stools and the dollar bills fluttering from the ceiling, this building was a house of cold things, as we were just talking about. So back in the 1850s, when Key West was still a small but bustling port, ice had to be imported by ship. The structure that now houses Captain Tony's was built to keep that ice, thick blocks, shipped from faraway rivers, intact in the tropical heat. But there was something else that needed to be kept cold. In those early days, when disease and hurricanes swept through the Keys, the island's morgue was also there. Bodies awaited burial in the same room where the ice was stored, and the locals, superstitious as island folk tend to be, said that the cold of death never really left the walls.
Whoa.
So there's a tree that grows straight through the floor of Captain Tony's today.
What?
The bar was literally built around it, and its roots are disappearing into the earth below, like into like the floor.
Oh, jeez. That's weird.
Some call
never it... been to a bar with a tree in it.
Never been to a rainforest cafe. I'm sure that there are trees in there.
That's fair. I could fuck up a rainforest cafe back in the day, dude.
I don't know if I ever went.
Dude, you definitely. Everyone's been to it. Did you go to Bugaboo Creek?
Oh, dude, I fucking loved Bugaboo Creek.
Yes, dude. That was like...
that was my shit back then.
That was like white trash rainforest cafe.
Yeah, no, genuinely.
Oh, man.
Instead of, like, birds and shit, it had a moose.
Yeah. Dude, but the Rainforest Cafe was fucking awesome, dude.
I don't think I ever went. Do you know, like, where
the
was
Burlington
it?
Mall had
oh,
one.
Yeah, no, I...
Really?
I don't think I ever made the trek over there.
It's like 20 minutes away.
No. Yeah, I don't think that we ever did that.
Okay.
Well, we went to Bugaboo Creek instead.
That's fair. Been to the Rainforest Cafe. Decent.
I was bummed when the Bugaboo Creek went out of business.
Genuinely.
Like, not even kidding. It was my favorite restaurant as a kid.
Was it really?
Yeah, I don't know why. It was just, I loved the talking animals.
Dude, and the talking fish. Always had to sit by the talking fish so and just, good. Like, hit it every 30 seconds.
It was so good.
Oh, man.
So, some call the tree in Captain Tony's the hanging tree. And if you ask a bartender or a tour guide, they'll tell you a story that begins more than a century ago. So they say that the tree once stood in the courtyard of the old jail. Pirates, murderers, and thieves met their end there.
Whoa.
The most infamous was a woman who killed her husband and two children, claiming afterward...
You can't do that.
Yeah, no.
That's not cool.
It's pretty uncool.
Yeah.
She claimed that the devil made her do it. When the rope was tied around her neck, she wore a blue dress that fluttered like the wings of a tropical bird. And then they hanged her from the tree. And now they say she still wanders the bar at night as a ghost that we will talk about in a little while.
To kill more children? Like what, lady?
She appears in like flashes, and her perfume will linger in the air. Her face is glimpsed in mirrors that reflect more than they should sometimes.
Oh.
So
the way you said that, though, is like she's showing off her boobs in the mirror. Like, showing more.
They're showing a little more than they
more
should.
More than they should. Some graphic mirrors. Just ghost boobs. Some goobs.
Some goobs. You a goober?
Goober. I'm a goofy goober.
Rock. When hurricanes came, and they came a lot, the building was battered but never destroyed.
Whoa.
One storm in the 1860s flooded the morgue. Coffins and corpses were carried out to sea.
Well, that's a fucked version of Splash Mountain. Instead of log flumes, it's the coffin flumes.
When the water receded, only one body remained tangled in the roots of the tree.
Whoa. That's fucked.
They buried her right where she was found, beneath the floor.
Was that the stabby lady?
No, I don't think so. I think it was just a random lady.
Just random lady.
From that moment on, the place was cursed, or protected, depending on who you ask. As the decades passed, the Ice House became a telegraph station, crackling with wartime messages during the Spanish-American War. Later, it turned into a cigar factory.
What year was that?
It was...
/ what? Why? Why war?
Spanish-American.
I know nothing about this war.
I think it was like... I could be totally off here. But I think it was like the earlier 1800s.
Pre-Civil War?
Yeah, I think so. Huh. It's an easy Google, but I don't...
Yeah, we don't need it.
No.
We don't need it.
It happened.
They were mad at each other at one point.
They were. It was late enough that telegraphs were a thing.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Do with that what you will.
But early enough where phones didn't exist.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
There was no phones.
Just telegraphs.
Later, it turned into a cigar factory, where workers rolled tobacco leaves while they gossiped about ghosts and the strange cold breeze that would sometimes drift through the back room, even in the height of summer.
Whoa. I feel like in those moments, I'd be excited that there was a ghost. Because you're just sweating.
Yeah, dude.
Sweating your buns off. And, like, rolling cigar leaves. And then just, like, the ghost is like, I gotcha.
Hey, lady who killed her kids and husband, come here. give me a nice little...
Oh, man. Oh, this is awesome.
Come give me a hug.
Yeah.
When the 1920s brought Prohibition along, the building naturally evolved. Behind a false wall, rum runners... stored barrels of illicit
That's
liquor.
Fucking sick.
That's sick. And in the back rooms, gamblers played cards by candlelight.
So this place sounded fucking awesome
back
in the day.
It sounds like the place to be. You could hear laughter, arguments, the low hum of music, and then sometimes a crash and silence. A few men disappeared after visiting this place. Others swore that they saw shadows moving on their own.
Huh.
Even back then, people said that the tree was bad luck, but nobody dared to cut it down. By the 1930s, a salty, affable man named Josie Russell opened a bar in the location. He called it Sloppy Joe's, and among his first regulars was a young writer with a sharp wit and a taste for rum.
Oh, interesting.
A little Ernest Hemingway.
Yes, sir. It'll come up in my story.
Oh, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Nice. Yes. Little old man in the sea.
Oh, yeah.
The two became drinking buddies, fishing companions, and occasional partners in mischief. The bar filled
I thought you were going to say partners in love.
Ooh.
Like they were banging each other.
They were lovers.
Banging bros.
Yep.
Yep.
Hey, you know what?
No judgment here.
Perhaps they were.
Bang your bros.
We know Abe Lincoln was gay.
Yes.
Maybe Ernest Hemingway was gay too.
He definitely was gay.
Ernest Hemingway?
Yes, Ernest Hemingway. Oh man.
So they also became fishing companions, and oh, I already said that. Never mind. The bar filled with laughter, cigars, and literary chatter. Hemingway sat at the counter, scrawling notes on napkins, talking about bullfights and Marlin. For a few short years, this was the heart of Key West social life. Then a rent dispute forced Russell to move his bar down the street to Duval. He took
Duval.
The name
Duval.
He took the name Sloppy Joe's with him. The old Green Street building went quiet for a time, as if the ghosts were reclaiming it after the humans left. But it wouldn't last long.
Whoa.
In 1948, along comes a man named Anthony Tony Terracino. He was a bootlegger, a gambler, a fisherman, and eventually a legend of the town.
So this guy sounds sick as well.
Yeah, all of
these
guys.
I'm saying,
sound
like,
sick.
Key West back in the day sounded like it attracted Poppin'. Just like good dudes.
Well, I don't know about good dudes, but
I'd be like good to be around, dude.
Fun dudes.
Some chillers, bro.
Just slinging drinks.
Yeah.
He had the kind of smile that made you think he was either your best friend or the worst mistake you've ever made in your life. Tony had run liquor in New Jersey during Prohibition, escaped the mob, and washed up in Key West with a pocket full of stories and a love of the sea. He took over the old bar on Green Street in the 1960s, rechristening it to Captain Tony's Saloon. And that's when the place truly found its soul. Tony filled the saloon with his personality, equal parts charm and chaos. He hung bras from the ceiling.
Nice.
Sick.
Sick, bro.
Dude, that's so sick.
Sick brag, bro.
He nailed dollar bills to the rafters and painted bar stools with the names of his friends. Locals say he'd serve anyone, talk to anyone, and tell stories that grew taller with every retelling. Jimmy Buffett played there in his early days. Clint Eastwood drank there. Bob Dylan stopped in.
Oh my gosh.
The walls began to resemble a patchwork of memories. License plates, hats, business cards, photographs, all layered like the sediment of time.
So cool.
But no matter how loud the music got, there was always that strange feeling like something unseen was standing behind you watching.
Ooh.
So now we will get into the ghosts. So the first one is the lady in blue, who is the woman who killed her husband and kids and then wore the blue dress.
Hot take.
So
not fun to be around.
Yeah, not a chiller.
Yeah, not a chiller.
That's for sure. Some nights when the bar was quiet and the last customers were leaving, Tony would close up, switch off the lights, and glance toward the tree. More than once, he swore that he saw her just for a second. A woman in a blue dress standing by the trunk. Her face pale, her outline soft as fog. She was there, he told friends, and she wasn't the only one. Other bartenders claimed to see her too. Sometimes she brushed past them, ice cold and weightless. Sometimes they caught her reflection in the glass behind the bar, even when nobody else was there. Tourists have reported feeling a hand on their shoulder, only to turn and find empty space. There are stories of beer taps turning on by themselves, glasses sliding down the counter without being touched, and doors that creak open at odd hours. No one has ever captured clear proof, but in Captain Tony's, proof seems almost like beside the point. Like it doesn't matter because they're there. You know?
Yeah.
If you've ever felt that prickle at the back of your neck, that instinct like someone is there and someone is there with you even when you can't see it, then you've already felt the same thing that people describe inside of the walls of this saloon. So one night after midnight, a tourist decided to test the legends.
Uh-oh.
He brought a small thermometer, and he walked through the bar after closing with permission from staff. When he stood near the tree, the temperature dropped 10 degrees in just a few seconds.
So, I'm not usually skeptical. This sounds like not a... This does not sound like a fail-proof scientific experiment.
Yeah, no.
No.
No, it is not. And also, we're taking this guy's word for it.
Yeah. But, like, he was taking, like, one of the, like, thermometers you buy from CVS and just, like, getting the air temp. Like, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's just me.
He went to the tree, which... I don't know. I mean...
And also, like, the tree's there, which means...
There's got to be some sun somewhere, and, like, which means, like, probably some air somewhere.
Yes, getting in and stuff like that. I don't know. That's just... It's, again, not usually skeptical, but that stood out.
When he moved away from the tree, the air warmed again. Bartenders tell the story often because it happens again and again.
Oh, well.
So then there's the ghost of Captain Tony himself. So when Tony Terracino died in 2008 at the age of 92...
Whoa, this guy lived a long life.
Key West held a parade in his honor. His casket was carried... Dude, okay, can you imagine being an old-ass dude who was, like, a bootleg, like a chill bootlegger?
Yes.
Like, had run-ins with the mob.
Mm-hmm.
You move down to a tropical, like, super idyllic place, and they're like, dude, you were so sweet that we're gonna have a parade for you.
Parade for you.
That's crazy.
That is genuinely fucking nuts.
His casket was carried through the streets to the sounds of laughter, music, and tears. Locals toasted him with rum and told stories of the man who had made their island a legend. Some say Tony never really left the saloon. Bartenders will tell you that they've felt him too. The faint smell of cigar smoke, the flash of movement near the bar when they open up in the morning. Sometimes a door will swing open and a familiar laugh seems to echo even though no one's there. Captain Tony's saloon doesn't just hold the ghosts of the distant past. It holds the spirit of a man who turned it into what it was. Part bar, part museum, part seance.
Nice.
Boom. Captain Tony's.
This place sounds friggin' awesome.
Yep.
We need to go, like, first Spirits on Spirits on the road trip, Key West.
I'm down.
Like, do a ghost tour, go to the bars.
Oh, no. Like... Oh, no, dude. We have to go to Key West? Yeah. Oh, what a bummer.
Yeah, I am very in on this.
Yeah.
This place sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah. Haunted or not?
Ah, haunted. For sure.
Yeah, I'll like, go the same.
Absolutely. Just that too lady much shit going on.
If no other ghosts exist at this place, the one lady who murdered her family.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or the lady who got tangled up in the tree as her coffin floated away.
Dude, coffin, little like coffin flop, but water version.
I didn't rig shit.
Coffin float?
It's just shit wood and bodies hitting the pavement, dude. I didn't rig shit. I've been waiting so long for a hit on Corn Cob TV. So good. Yeah.
Go watch I Think You Should Leave if you haven't.
Just a coffin float. Definitely a coffin float. That would be an interesting...
Yeah, I would say haunted as well.
Absolutely.
Do you have a little poem for the people?
Oh, Jesus. I forgot I was going to have to do poems.
You ready for the... chug/
Yes. Poem. I'm ready for the chug/ poem. So this is titled I Love Chef. I said it once, innocently, naively. I love Chef Boyardee. And that's when it happened. The can rolled down the grocery aisle.
Oh no, we've seen this before.
Past the cereal. Through traffic, defying physics and God. It followed me home. Now every night I hear it clunk, clunk, clunk up the stairs. The lid creaks open, and there he is, Chef Boyardee, glowing red with marinara wrath. He whispers, "You'll say you love me," as the noodles start slithering across the floor. I scream, I just wanted dinner, not damn devotion. But it's too late. The ravioli rises. the sauce boils, my soul's al dente. And when I try to run, I trip over that cursed can. Still rolling, still whispering, still, I love Chef.
Dude, that was beautiful.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Chef Boyardee's nuts, am I right?
Yeah. It's hard to come up with a different, just like, the poem works because of the wow factor. And having to just, like, let go of my mind and let it go to these random places of Will Ferrell, Jack Black, the Jonas Brothers.
The Joe Bros.
Chef Boyardee. Yeah. Yep. Good times.
I'm always excited to hear what random corner of the earth your mind goes to when you have to make these poems.
That's fair. That is very fair. So, cool. All right.
Well, we will reload, and then we will be right back.
Nice.
We're back.
We're so back right now.
So I was just telling Nate, my bartending skills on this one were a little looser with the amount of rum that I put in. It's a much darker, dark and stormy, because I put a little too much rum. So, very strong. But, we're going to power through.
Yep. So, we have a story. We have a story here, folks.
Do we?
We have a story. I am going to cover the Ernest Hemingway home.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. When I was looking at the list at Key West, and I heard what you were doing, I have to do the Ernest Hemingway house. I mean, he's such a homie. Like, he's such a good dude.
Dude, well, such a bro.
Well, I actually don't know anything about him, so he could not be. But it's just from the very little I know is, like, he lived such an extravagant life.
Yeah.
It's so cool. But I did, in my thing, include kind of a background on him, because I didn't know how familiar you were with him.
Broadly, I know that he wrote The Old Man and the Sea and a couple of other classic books.
Yep.
Now I know from my story that he was a chiller and a homeboy with Tony.
Yep. So, first off, tough street name. 907 Whitehead Street, Key West.
It's kind of gross.
Yeah, kind of gross, right?
That's a pimple.
Yeah. It's like, I live on Pimple Ave. Or like Boyle Lane.
Oh,
yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, you're like, I'm good.
Yeah, it's nasty.
But it's a Spanish colonial house, in case you were wondering.
Very cool.
Ernest Hemingway was born in 1899, and he lived until 1961. And he was one of America's most famous authors and journalists, known for his sparse, powerful writing style and adventurous life. He won the Nobel Prize of Literature in 1954 for his work.
Actually, I know that.
No, I didn't know that either. The Old Man, the Sea, A Farewell to Arms, and For Whom the Bell Tolls. Hemingway was known for his hard living, risk-taking nature. He was a deep-sea fisherman, a bullfighter, a war correspondent, and frequented bars like Sloppy Joe's in Key West.
Well, there you go.
His life was almost as turbulent as fiction, full of love affairs, injuries, and tragedy. So, pretty cool.
It's cool that your story mentions my bar.
Yeah, absolutely, right? So, the house was built in 1851 by a marine architect, and it was it fell quickly into despair. Hemingway and his second wife, Pauline Pfeiffer, bought it in 1931 for $8,000, which apparently back at that time was a huge sum of money. Like a shit ton of money. But that was, again, the property was in despair. So he was basically just buying it for the land. And then he put so much more into the house. So he restored it to become this just lavish house. It also included the first in-ground swimming pool on the island. So he made a pool. It was the first in-ground swimming pool on the island. And the pool cost more than the house itself. And there was a famous moment where Hemingway famously tossed his wife at the time, Pauline, a penny, and he said, "This is my last penny," or like, "Take this. Mm. This is the last cent I have. Take it." And the penny is actually still like in the ground next to the pool. Oh, so cool. They like kept it there. So that was pretty cool. Well, he was living there throughout the 1930s. He wrote some of his most famous works, including To Have and Have Not, The Snows of Kilimanjaro, Green Hills of Africa, and then Death in the Afternoon. I have read a total of zero of those.
I have also read zero.
I would like to, maybe I'll go in and read, especially if we go. If we go, we should do like a
book club.
Wait, what if we did like a Spirits on Spirits book club?
That could be fun.
Where we did not ghost authors, but like authors that like are famously haunt locations around the country.
I'd have to think about the format for that.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever, just an idea. But so Hemingway left Key West in 1939, but the house stayed in his family and later became a museum. And today, it's one of the most visited museums on the island. So, now let's get into the ghosts and who haunts the house. So, Ernest himself is said to haunt the location. Visitors and staff claim to have seen a solid figure of a man walking through the gardens or up on the balcony, often wearing a white shirt and khaki pants, looking contemplative. Like, that's a weird thing to describe someone as. Like, you just look contemplative.
Just thinking about stuff.
Just thinking about shit. Okay.
Unlike some people.
He is seen sometimes in his writing studio, where his old typewriter still sits, and people report hearing the rhythmic clicking of the typewriter late at night. Hmm. So people hear it go click, click, click.
That'd be kind of annoying.
Yeah, it would. But no one lives there. So the other thing that I think is fun is people can sometimes smell cigar smoke, even though smoking is banned in the museum now. So
the hell's up with that?
Well,
that was like a main thing about it.
Yeah.
At one point.
Yeah. So he used to be a big cigar smoker, so people often associate that with him. Then people also just report feeling a strong, restless energy, as if like a presence is pacing back and forth, like still crafting stories and ideas. So I think a lot of people believe that he lingers at his house in Key West because it was the happiest period of his life and his creative peak. So they just felt like that was like he was in the zone. Auto zone. When he was
not sponsored by
in him. Key West. And I think that, I don't know, I agree with that. So, yeah, Pauline Pfeiffer, Hemingway's second wife, again, the one he bought the house with and all that stuff, is also said to haunt the location. Now, her and Hemingway were married. But they didn't end on great terms because he left her for the journalist Martha Gellhorn. So that wasn't nice of him.
It's pretty unchill.
Yeah, pretty unchill. But he left her the house, or she was allowed to remain in the house. So that was chill.
Thanks, Ernest.
Yeah, that was nice. And then she reportedly died of a heart attack years later, which when I read that, I was like, you don't say. Women don't die of heart attacks very often.
That's true.
So I thought that was a note.
Maybe it was a broken heart.
Might have been a broken heart. And some say her jealous, unsettled spirit still lingers, which is fair. I could see that. So staff have reported a perfume scent suddenly filling a room. So like they'll just be nothing, and then just a perfume scent. So that's cool. And then the sound of high heels clicking on the tile floor late at night. So that's cool. And then the feeling of being watched in the bedroom they once shared. So her ghost is described as a little less friendly. And the residual energy is tied to heartbreak, which I think is kind of funny that they, like, exist in this house together. He's just like, oh, man, I'm here.
Jesus.
He's like, I'm here because I peaked. Like, this is where I peaked. Yeah. I was the happiest. Like, I'm smoking cigars. I'm out in the garden, all that stuff.
It was her valley. It was his peak.
Yeah, and she's just, like, clicking around in high heels going, this motherfucker. Like, just like, yeah. So, yep. I could see that being
but you know what?
Interesting.
It's kind of what he gets.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Lots of
yawn breaks this week.
You had a stroke and now you're having yawn breaks?
I have lots of yawn breaks this week. Just a sweepy little guy. Now, the other thing is the cats.
Oh.
We got to talk about the cats. So, Hemingway was famously fond of polydactyl cats.
What does that mean?
Cats with extra toes. He was a big fan of cats with extra digits.
Okay.
Dude. Kittens with extra digits.
What?
Yeah, I guess so.
So I have a cat. I can say with 100% confidence, I've never focused on her number of toes.
Do you know if she has extra digits?
I don't. I actually don't. She might, and I don't know.
How many digits are a cat supposed to have?
I think 20. Same as people.
They're supposed to have five on each.
Maybe four. I don't know.
I genuinely don't know.
It's either four or five. Either way, I don't care.
No. He was a big fan. And so he was apparently gifted one by a ship captain. And now today, over 50 descendants of that cat roam the property.
Wow.
That's a lot of cats.
That cat was getting around.
Yeah, with... Like, what? Yeah, I'm just so confused how that happened.
Well, litters are sizable.
Yeah, I guess that's
fair. And
then
if each of those cats has a litter of some kind, then...
Just the fact that there's 50 cats.
Yeah, that's absurd.
At once is wild. People apparently have seen ghost cats as well. That vanished when approached. And it's interesting because they are particularly active, or people see them particularly often near grave markers of past cats. So, yeah.
Just a cat graveyard, yeah. And a bunch of ghost cats around.
Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing that, and this is, correct me if I'm wrong, but a thing that people like say, some of the caretakers have talked about, how the cats will react to things that aren't there. So they'll just, like, be staring at something as, like, it looks like it's there. Or they're, like, hissing at things that aren't there and stuff like that.
All right. As far as that, that's just cats, I feel like.
I guess.
If they see a little speck of something on the wall, they'll be like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
So.
I guess that's fair. So. Couple of, like, first-hand type of encounters and things like that. Caretakers. So several museum employees have claimed to see Hemingway's figure standing by a window upstairs. One former guide said she routinely smelled cigar smoke during closing rounds, though no one was smoking nearby. Tourist photos. Visitors sometimes report catching light anomalies or a male figure shadow in the photos taken inside the house, particularly in the master bedroom and the study. And then night shift security stories. So guards have heard footsteps pacing back and forth in the empty house, and a few have even resigned after claiming to hear whispering voices in Hemingway's writing loft.
Is that something that you would quit over?
I don't know. Depends on how much you need the job.
Fair.
And if there's other jobs available.
That's just not something that I would quit over. I would do my, oh, I got to go check and make sure that there's not a human being in there. Once I did that, I'd be like, all right, whatever.
Meh. But if it's just you and ghosts for like 6 hours straight and it's nighttime.
That'd be fine.
I don't know. I don't think I'd super vibe with that. And so apparently the investigators have been in there, the paranormal type. And they've apparently caught a man's voice saying, write it again before.
Write it again?
Yeah. So maybe Hemingway talking to himself, saying like, "No, no, write it again." So I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I think like I definitely think that. So I guess let's play the game, haunted or not.
Haunted.
Haunted. Yeah. Why do you think so?
Ghost cat.
Ghost cat.
Enough said.
I think for me, it's the energy. Like, him being super, like you said, it's his peak, her valley. And I think both of those trap a lot of energy. So I think that, like, definitely has a vibe of, like, oh, yeah, there's some shit here.
I just like the idea of player cat.
Yeah.
Cat who got around and was a player. Still being around.
It's fair. I can get behind that. So. All right, well, that's the Ernest Hemingway house.
Well, if you would kindly subscribe and follow our socials. Sorry, I can't. I don't know why my mind is like not minding right now.
Well, you can unkindly do it too. Like, you can hate.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, dude, we have a hater. Ugh.
I know. We've talked about this for a while.
We should. We need to get a hater.
We got it. We got to also be more active on social media. I think that we've fallen behind on a little bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We will make that commitment to get better about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, follow our socials. You know.
Yeah. Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it now.
You won't.
Bitch.
Jeez.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. Fuck you.
I was like, I double dog dare you, and Aiden's like, no, fuck you, bitch.
Fuck you, bitch.
Oh, man. Well, we appreciate all of you. Hopefully, you all had a nice and safe and, you know, eventful in the good kind spooky season. And, you know, if you're going through spooky season withdrawals, we at Spirits on Spirits are here to help with that. You don't have to quit spooky season cold turkey for a year. We're here keeping the spooky season vibes going all year round.
Dude, I'm excited for like the cozy winter months.
Yeah.
Sit by the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Tell ghost stories.
Yeah.
Sip on like an old fashioned or something.
Sounds great. Oh. Sounds like a great friggin' vibe. So. Does. All right. Well, until next week, we love you all. See you on the other side. Stay spooky.
Deuces.
Peace.